I am obsessed with this podcast episode. Like, seriously, if you listen to any of my episodes, you have to listen to this one. And I hope it doesn't turn you off because it's about sales. And I know so many people don't like sales, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not making sales, you don't have a business. You have to be getting paid to have a business and not a hobby. And when I started my business, I hated sales. And now I still don't like it, but it is something that I have learned because I have to learn if I'm going to be in business. And I've also hired somebody to take a lot of that work off of my plate because I would rather be doing other things. And we are going to get into all of it with Nikki Roush. She is the founder and CEO of Sales Maven. And before we get into it, I'm going to give you a URL to visit, a Closing the Sale ebook. And after listening to this episode, you're going to want to get it. If you don't want to now, head to yoursalesmaven.com/mediamaven to get your hands on the ebook. yoursalesmaven.com/mediamaven. I am going to put this in the show notes if you're driving or working out or whatever it is that you do while you're listening to the Become a Media Maven podcast. But definitely check it out. It is a free ebook, and this girl has the most amazing tips on selling, and it's not what you think it is, and it's going to make selling a lot more fun for you, I promise.
Ever wonder how some people seem to get a ton of media coverage and you don't? Welcome to Become a Media Maven, where TV reporter, host, and news contributor Christina Nicholson shares years of media experience to help you get the media attention you and your business deserve. And now, to help you master your media coverage, Christina Nicholson.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for joining me and welcome to the Become a Media Maven podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you because I've never had somebody on yet that talks specifically about sales. And this is like the one thing that determines a business from a hobby. And it is also the most common thing that I hear in all of my Facebook groups where people say, "Oh, I hate sales. I want to do this or I want to do that, but I hate sales." And the fact of the matter is if you're not making sales, you're not making money and you don't have a business.
It's very true. I agree 100%.
And you are the founder and CEO of Sales Maven, which, by the way, like, knuckles on your business name because my business name is Media Maven and you are Sales Maven. So I am loving that.
I know, I am too. I was so excited when I saw that as your company name.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so tell me, you don't just found a business called Sales Maven if you don't know what the hell you're talking about when it comes to sales. So first, like, just give me a little background on how you know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, I have been in sales for 25 years. I have a pretty extensive background in technology sales specifically, working for some very large manufacturers in the industry and, top producer in North America for one of the companies that I worked for. And in addition to having that background in sales and, closing really large deals and then also, the small kind of one-off deals too, but multi-million dollar deals all the way to, like, a couple $100 type deal. And then I also am a master certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. And I don't know if you've heard that term before,
That
but
sounds like Chinese to me.
it's like the most technical term. When I say it, sometimes people are like, "Oh, she must be really smart." But really, it's the study of communication. So neuro, the way we process information in our brains. Linguistics is about language, how you speak to others, how they speak to you, and then any internal dialogue that you have going on. And then the programming part of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is about habits and patterns. So when I teach sales now, I bring a lot of my NLP background into my work, and I really focus on the relationship and also the conversation, because I find that a lot of people think, "Well, I'm just going to market myself and I'm going to get leads." But if you don't know how to take that lead from it coming in the door to you and then walking that person through the process, you're wasting a lot of money, right? Because those leads, anytime somebody's like, "Well, I'm getting all these marketing leads, but they're garbage because I can't close any of them." Well, that's not a marketing problem, that's a sales problem.
Thank you. Good God. Like, I'm going to put this on repeat because I feel like what you do is part two to what I do. Like, I do the marketing part. Like, I get people on TV. I get them in newspapers. I get them on podcasts, for example. And then after that media appearance, they're like, oh, well, I didn't make any sales. Well, that didn't work. And it's like, no, no, no. I got you there. Like, a shit ton of people just heard you. They just found out about you, your product, your service, your brand, whatever it may be. Like, now it's your turn to sell them your shit. So, like, that's on you. Like, you need to leverage that media to sell to them. So I love that you said that, one. Two, I love that you talk about sales, like, with the communication, the language, the internal dialogue, habits and patterns, because I feel like the biggest mistake people make is, like, they go in and they ask for a sale before there's any know, like, and trust factor, and they're only thinking about themselves and making their sale. And I feel like that's, I don't know if that's old school or if it's lazy or what it is, but it's like, it clearly does not work.
No. And I actually teach a 5-step process. It's my signature framework. I call it the selling staircase. And what I teach is that it's your job to move a client from step to step to step. And it doesn't go from introduction to close. Like, when you do that, if you go in and just say, like, do you want to buy from me? Or I have something and you need it. And this person's like, what? Who are you? And why are you selling to me? You're skipping steps in the process. And when you skip steps, you either confuse, frustrate, or frankly, like, tick people off because they're like, you don't have permission to sell to me. You don't even know me. And you're just coming on this strong. And so it really turns people off. So I do think it's a little bit old school, this idea of, like, coffees for closers, right? Like, anybody who's been in sales has heard about this, the Glenn Ross movie where Alec Baldwin is, you know, yelling at his team, like, coffees for closers. And so in a way, people just think, well, I just have to close, close, close. Well, if you miss all these steps and you go right to close because you don't know what you're doing, or you think that's going to be easier for you, you're actually wasting precious opportunity with people that you could legitimately earn their business. But because you're rushing the process and because you're not being careful with the way you communicate with them, you're just, like, completely setting yourself up for the fact that they will never buy from you.
Okay. I love this. And you have a book called Selling Staircase, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Can you give us a little piece of the book? So you said there's a 5-step process. Can you walk us through those 5 steps?
Yes, absolutely. So the steps are, the first step is the introduction step. So that could come from this media appearance where people are being introduced to you for the first time, but it also can come when you're at an event and you're meeting somebody for the first time, or maybe somebody who's known you for a long time, introducing the concept of potentially working together. So what you do in this introduction, it's all about making a positive first impression. And then once you make a positive first impression, it's easy to go to step two, which is create a little curiosity about who you are and what you do. Because we often don't know when we're in a conversation with somebody, is this a potential client or not? Or is this person interested in what I offer? And this is probably the most misstep in the selling process, because most people are like, well, I don't know how to create curiosity, so I'm just going to skip it. But if you skip it, they don't give you any type of buying signals, which usually happens when you start to create a little curiosity. People start to want to know more. They ask questions. That is a potential buying signal. And so once you get that buying signal, it's easy then to move them to step three, which is the discovery. And that's your job in the discovery, is to understand what's their problem, what's their need, what's their want, and set yourself up so that you're asking questions that lead the person to hiring you. You're not selling in the discovery. What you're doing is asking strategic questions that set you up for success, and the client too, because you might find in the discovery process, like, this is not an ideal client for me. So then I always say, like, bless and release those people. But if it is an ideal client for you, you want to be able to then ask permission to move to step four, which is proposal. And that's where you actually lay out an offer for somebody based on what you found out in the discovery. If you just go right to proposal and you skip discovery, you might completely miss the mark in what you're laying out for them or how you're laying it out for them. Because in the discovery, you're hearing all their language, you're hearing, like, their like really how to earn their business. Because if you're asking the right questions in the right way, you're getting all these like nuggets, this gold nugget of information on how to earn their business. So once you get to proposal, you clearly lay it out. And then of course, the logical step after step four is the close. And that's where you issue close language. And if you never get to the place where you get to issue close language because you skip all these steps, or if you just go right to close, then again, you're not going to earn somebody's business. But if you do this five-step process well, by the time you get to the close, it's almost always a yes, because you've done such a great job of building rapport along the way, understanding their need, and then delivering back a proposal that completely is in alignment of what their need is.
This is so good, and you are so right. People skip all of these steps. And yes. I speak from experience of being a LinkedIn loser. Are you not loser? Oh my God, a user. A LinkedIn user. Too many L's there.
Yeah.
Because I am on the receiving end of so many people who make a connection and then they go from introduction, hi, I'm so and so, straight to the close. They skip two, yes, three, and four. And 9 times out of 10, it is somebody wanting to sell me a service where they will create an app for me. Like, clearly you know nothing about me or my business, because the last thing that I need to be spending any time or money on is an app. Yeah. And then the second thing that I get a lot is from people who do SEO, and they're like, we will get you, we guarantee, which first of all, red flag if anybody guarantees you anything. They, yeah, guarantee getting me on the front page of Google. So now my response, now I'm just going to have fun with these people. My response to all of these SEO experts now is, okay, great. What do I need to Google to find you on page one? Because if you're going to guarantee me a spot on page one, then surely you're on page one for something. So that usually shuts them down real quick, because they're not on page one of anything. So that's my response for those people. Yeah, that's my response for them.
Yeah.
I should do that with the app people. Okay, great. What's your app? Where's your best-selling app? Let me know. Because I think you should totally be practicing what you preach. And I say that all the time on this podcast. Like, if you're going to sell something, you better be damn good at what you're selling, and you better be like your own best case study.
Yeah, I totally agree. I always say, like, I walk my talk, and I don't ask my clients to do things that I don't do. Mm-hmm. I don't teach things that I don't do in my process. And as a matter of fact, because I have been doing this for so long, I love to play and test things. So sometimes I'll test and do the opposite of what I teach just to reconfirm it doesn't work. Like, I don't do that often, but if I don't want to work with somebody, I'll usually like start to get playful. They don't know it, but it allows for me to test my work all the time. So I'm in constant research mode, like what works, what didn't work, and why. Like, why did this work here and didn't work here?
Yeah.
And then I feed that information back to my clients. So it's constantly evolving. Like, my trainings are constantly evolving, and I'm adding new pieces and new language suggestions for them of things that I'm like, okay, when you're in this situation, this is what you say, this is how you say it, and this is why it works. And then they go out and test it, and they're like, oh my gosh, this totally worked. Right. And so it's this constant like learning laboratory.
I do the same too. Like, I always try something out for myself, because I get pitched a lot about different kinds of marketing services. And I'm always like, okay, well, let me try this on myself first to see how it works. And then I will, you know, offer it to my clients if I like the way it works on me. I do the same thing. Question for you, can you explain your business model to me? Like, do you teach others how to sell? Do you have a team of salespeople? How does your business model work?
So my business model is me teaching entrepreneurs primarily how to sell. I do still do corporate team trainings for sales teams. But primarily I'm working with entrepreneurs, and specifically entrepreneurial women, because they struggle a lot with the sales conversation. And the kind of one of the biggest problems I think out in the marketplace with people who teach sales is they want to teach you how to sell like them. And I don't do that. I teach you structure. I like guide you through a process so that your own personality can shine through, because this is why oftentimes people come off kind of gross or slimy or salesy. It's because they're trying to sell like someone else, and it doesn't fit their authentic personality style. And so it doesn't ring true. And we get it in the conversation. We get like, something's off here. This doesn't feel right to me as the client. So I'm not going to pick working with you because there's a million people out there that do what each of us do. And you can go hire a myriad of other people. So it's really about understanding the process, where you are, what step you're on, and then how do you move the client from that step to the next one. And I do give a lot of language suggestions. I tend to avoid using the word scripts because I think sometimes people think, well, now I have to say it exactly like Nikki. But I want actually you to see structure around a script. And I teach like, here's the structure of what I'm doing in this language suggestion. And now you go in and you insert your pieces so that you get the structure, because it's the structure that's going to lead to success. And that comes from my NLP background. There's a presupposition that says there's a structure to excellence. So anytime you can teach people structure, like if anybody can implement a structure, if you can be successful at it and you can show me how you do it, I can then implement it and be successful at it. So that's why I'm really focused around structure.
I love that. That is so good. Okay. I have two questions. The first one, why do you think people hate sales so much? And I'm asking for the me 4 to 5 years ago, I hated it. And I remember when I started my business, I started as what I call I'm using air quotes, professional freelancer, where I would take on work from different PR companies. They would just white label work to me and I would do it. And then when I started getting my own clients, like I started using Upwork, and then I started to slowly grow and started building a team to help me because I was getting so busy. And then I was like, okay, great. Well, now I have a team of people. Like, I need to get clients to keep my team busy. And I hated sales. And my very first business coach told me, you hate sales because you're not good at it. When you get good at it, you will like it more. And I learned a little bit about sales, not so much the style you're talking about. I learned about the number side. Like, if I want 10 clients and my conversion rate is 20%, then I need to be asking at least 60 people, and that math is probably wrong, but just as an example, then I need to be asking 60 people to have a conversation with me. Maybe 1/3 of them will actually have the conversation, and then I'll close at 20%, and then I'll get my 10 clients, whatever it is. So I learned that part of sales, like how to quantify it. And then, you know, obviously the conversation is a huge part, because those numbers don't mean shit if you're not doing a good job with the conversation. And if you do a good job with the conversation, those numbers get smaller because you're converting at a higher rate. So it's really less work because you're doing the right things and you're not doing the wrong things. Right. And I'm also going to ask about why people hate it, because I feel like I'm in a few different Facebook groups with other boss moms. And if I had a dollar for every time I read in a post somebody did not like sales, they have their business, they want to make money, but they don't want to do anything that involves sales because they hate sales. It's like, how are you going to make money if you don't sell anybody anything? Like, even if you hate sales, you got to learn how to like it, or you just got to hire somebody, which will lead me to a question after this one. But why do you think people hate sales?
I think the reason they hate it is exactly like what your coach said. It's because you don't understand it. You don't understand the structure. And so the other thing about, like, I think, I guess maybe my most basic answer is that most people hate it because they think it's a reflection of them and they think it's about them. But sales actually is not about you. It's about the client and the client experience. And when you stop focusing on you and like, what are they thinking about me? And are they going to love me? Or do they think my product's valuable? When you stop focusing on that and you start focusing on the other person, the relationship, I always say relationship first, rapport always. So we got to put the relationship first and really connect with people in an individual way. Like, you have to, I don't know about you, but I refuse to give my money to anybody who treats me like I'm just a big old dollar sign. So when somebody starts to invest in me and care about my needs and what's important to me, then it feels better about giving them my money. And so when you can start to focus on the other person, you take that focus off of you. And now it's not like I hate sales because I'm not good at it, or I hate sales because I don't know what I'm doing, or I hate sales because it feels slimy and gross to me. It's usually because you're focused on yourself.
That's great. That makes so much sense. Now, second part of the question, I want to talk about finding a salesperson. I brought on my first salesperson for my agency about a year ago, and I am so lucky to have her because she's amazing. I do believe she takes those five steps. And I have been told by clients before, like, she's great. She asked a lot of questions that other people didn't ask. And I think she's good too, because she has experience in my industry. So she really knows how to explain it and almost set expectations as she's having these conversations. Because the earned media industry can be confusing. People don't understand how you can be in certain places if you don't pay for it. Well, some people are there and they're paying for it, but it doesn't look paid for. Like, it's just a hot mess right now. But she's very good. And I got lucky by finding her in a Facebook group that is full of people in my industry, and she saw one of my posts. However, before I posted in this Facebook group, I was creating ads on Indeed, creating ads on LinkedIn, and the responses that I got were so bad. And then I remember I got a couple people on the phone, and between them not understanding my industry and then just wanting to be like cold callers, it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to find a salesperson? So like, for people who were in my position last year, before I found my amazing director of growth is her title, before finding her, what do you suggest for people to find a good salesperson? Because they are hard to find.
They are. So there's two traits that make somebody a good salesperson, and they could be like really all one or the other, or they might have a little bit of a mix. And so you do need to ask questions that help you identify. So good salespeople are either driven by money or they're driven by recognition. And if they don't have either of those traits, like if they're somebody like, I don't really need to be recognized, or I don't need to be paid for the, like, I don't really care, like, I just want a paycheck, those are not good salespeople. Your salespeople should be like incentivized to sell more, and then they make more. So driven by money or recognition. And sometimes it actually will behoove you to bring on a few salespeople versus just one, because now they have people to compete with, and good salespeople are competitive. So you need to kind of find that person who has that drive. And then the other thing that makes a good salesperson is they treat whatever the business is like it's their own business. So they do want some autonomy, and they want the ability to like go out and make decisions and take care of the client in the way that they know is going to work for them. And if you're not willing to give them autonomy, if you don't know how to drive performance by the way that you pay them and, you know, the commission structure, then oftentimes they'll start to flounder, or they'll be so frustrated with working with you that they'll go find someone else who will feed that part of them.
I love that. So my director of growth, she gets paid a base salary, and then she has a sliding commission scale. So if she gets, you know, between, you know, percentages change based on how much business she brings in. So obviously the more business you bring in, the more money you make. And I have heard before to bring in multiple salespeople so they can compete with each other. Mm-hmm. I have not yet done that. But how do you suggest doing that? So they're competing against each other, but in a healthy way, and they're not stepping on each other's toes. Like, how do you make sure there's no overlap between the work that they're doing?
So you either break things down into territory, or you break it down into like the type of client that they're going after. And then the way that you drive that competitiveness is that weekly you show them where they're tracking as far as their sales in relation to everybody else. So you got to be putting out a sales report every week so that they see where I am, because what you really want is you want number two to try to beat number one, and you want number three, depending on how many people you have, to try to beat number two, because it drives everybody's sales up.
I like that. Okay. So what should be on this sales report each week? How are you tracking their behavior?
So you have to actually track where they're tracking in sales. So you want to have a goal set, right? So let's say that you want them to each sell, I'm just making this up for you, about $100,000 each a month. So you want to show where they're tracking in relation to that $100,000, and who's at the top and who's at the bottom. And, you know, depending on what are the things that you really want to drive? Are you driving margin? Are you driving just straight up sales? You don't need to put margin on there if you're not driving margin. But if you are, then you want to put that on the sheet. So think about, what behaviors do I really want to drive? Or maybe you want to drive, maybe you want to track new business versus repeat business. Like, that's another kind of thing that you could have on that report, so they could see where they're tracking in relation to everybody else.
Okay. And then you can track probably other things too, like say, like how many calls are you making? How many meetings are you having? Like if it's not just the monetary goal, because sometimes like it's a process, right? It's not like a one day thing. You're talking to people and having meetings and they're thinking about it for a couple of weeks. So besides the actual number, what are some other things that we could track to make sure our salespeople are being competitive, or if we're doing this ourselves as our own salesperson?
Well, as your own salesperson, you should be tracking your numbers, and I think you should track them weekly, and you should track where you are in relation to your goal. So I, even though like, you know, my accountant and my CFO provide me with all types of reports at the end of the month where I am, but I still have my own little spreadsheet that I track each week. And so I show like, here's the total of where I am, but here's how far I have left to get to my goal. So for me, I'm always tracking revenue. And then I also break it down by the category of the product or the service that I'm selling, because that also helps me get an idea of like, what do I want to like pour some gasoline on? And what are some things that aren't really driving a lot of sales? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time focusing on it. It's like, it's there if people want it, but that's not the focus. So what am I going to talk about this week? Well, if I want to drive, you know, membership or to my Sales Maven Society, then like I am really paying attention to retention rates, and I'm paying attention to like churn. And so I think it really kind of comes down to, I tell you, because I did this for a long time. I was a sales manager of 25 salespeople for years, and we used to track number of calls. And I will say, from all of my years of doing that, it isn't something I would track today, number of calls, because it's not about quantity, it's about quality. Mm-hmm. And so instead of trying to get them to make 40 calls a day or 50 calls a day, which is what we used to track, I would find like people could just pick up the, like, you can kind of fake that stuff, frankly. You can fake how many calls, but what you can't fake is the numbers, the sales that are coming in. So you could also have them tracking like what are potential opportunities that are out there, and having that on the list, and where they think from a percentage wise, like where are they in the process? Are they still in the curiosity creating phase? Have they moved to the proposal? Like, where are you in the process? Because if you don't know where you are, it's really hard to get to the next step.
I love that. And what you just said, it reminds me of where I was probably a year ago. A lot of my listeners know, I have a public relations agency, and then I also have a media mentoring program. And that was kind of created for the people who would show up in my Instagram DMs, who would say, hey, I want to earn publicity for myself, but I just don't have the budget to hire an agency because I'm a solopreneur. So then I was like, all right, well, let me just create something that'll tell you what I do at the agency all day, every day, and you just do it yourself. Or, you know, you can upgrade to VIP, and then me and my team will work with you. We tell you what buttons to push, and you push the buttons. So yeah. I spent almost, it's like the 80-20 rule. I spent almost 80% of my marketing selling that online course and that media mentoring program, and then 20% towards the agency. And then I took a step back and I said, what's bringing in the money? 80% of my money was from the agency, and 20% was from this online course. And I think it's because the buyer is just so different. Like in my mind, I thought, oh, this online course is less than $1,000. That's going to be easy to sell, versus an agency client. They're paying thousands each month and they're committing to at least a 6-month contract. But the headspace of the person buying is so different. Like the business owner, they're already established. They're making money. They've taken risks. They have a different money mindset than the person who's going to buy an online course for $9.97. They're scared shitless to spend $9.97 because they're afraid that they're not going to get the money back. They don't think they're ready for it. You know, coming up with every other excuse in the book. So. Yeah. Then I was like, oh my gosh, it's, why would I spend time trying to sell something for $9.97 when it's so much easier to sell something for a few thousand dollars that's recurring revenue every month? So I don't want to say I stopped promoting my online course and my mentoring program. I mean, people know I still have it. And I'll obviously, like, hello, send me a DM. We can get you enrolled today. We'll help you out. But I am not spending my time marketing something that is harder to sell at a lower price point than something that is much easier to sell at a higher price point. That just, it's not smart marketing.
No. I mean, the only time it's smart, I think, to sell something that's a lower price point is when there's opportunity for them to pop out into other offers to you. So for instance, like I focus pretty heavily on growing my Sales Maven Society, which is my membership. And that's kind of that low cost investment to like dip your toe in the water with me, get access to my training courses, get access to me in a private group. But those people don't just sit there. I mean, some of them do, but most of them, you get in there and you're like, oh, I kind of would like to work with Nikki privately. So then they become private clients, or I want to take her masterclass. So now I've signed up for that, or I put out some kind of a promotion and they're all over it. So those, that type of thing makes sense. But when you have just a course and there's kind of no place for them to go next, you're right. Like it doesn't make sense for you to be focusing on that, because reoccurring revenue is always going to be a home run for you. And like you said, it's a different mindset for people who are used to investing and also come with this idea. Like this just happened to me last week. This is very much last month, but very much my mindset. Like if I spend money on something, I expect for it to make me money. And I spent a huge chunk of money last month on something. And so the very next day I was like, well, now I need to come up with something to earn my money back. And I actually did something that gave me times 9 what I spent. And because it forced me to get creative, like, okay, so what am I going to offer? I spent all this money. What am I going to offer out into my community and see if people want this? I had no idea it was going to like times 9 it, but I figured I could at least get my money back right away for what I had just spent. And so it's a different mindset. Like I don't hold on to money. Like I have to like hoard it. I can't spend it. I truly believe like I'm always willing to spend money to make money.
Oh, 100%. Now, I am like that now, but when I started my business, I had money mindset problems that I did not know I had. So were you always like that coming from sales? Mm-hmm. Or are you like that now because you have a successful business and you've already changed your money mindset since starting?
I mean, probably I had a little bit when I was starting out because it was a different, you know, I was in a very different place in my business. but I do always kind of have this, because I have this sales mindset. Like the other thing that I have as far as a sales mindset is I'm always starting at zero. So we're at the beginning of the month and depending on when this airs, but you know, for you and I in this conversation, so I'm starting at zero. So even though I just had this, I'm coming off this amazing sales month, like I'm at zero. So now I'm like, well, what am I going to sell this month? And I better figure this out. And so I think it's a little bit of a salesperson's mindset. Like I'm not afraid to spend money, and I'm also not afraid to like figure out how I'm going to make money.
And if you are a business owner listening, you need to have that mindset, because if you are a business owner, even if you work a full-time job and you have a side hustle, you have to have that sales mindset, because you have to make sales to be in business. If you're not making sales, you have a hobby. You do not have a business. Okay, so Nikki, right. You mentioned your membership program. People can become private clients. Where can people go to find out more about what you offer? Because I think so many people would benefit from it.
Well, one of the ways they can come and find out more is actually something I'll give them as a gift. So it'll get them started with some sales information. So it's an ebook called Closing the Sale, and you can get it by going to my website, yoursalesmaven.com, and then /Media Maven. So this is very specific to your audience. So yoursalesmaven.com/Media Maven, all one word. And you can download my ebook on closing the sale, and it's going to walk you through kind of some of the discovery step, the proposal step, and then the close, and give you some language around it. So that's the way people can find me.
Awesome. We will send them there. And then I'm also going to link to your book, Selling Staircase. You touched on some of those steps. People can get more in-depth knowledge when they read your book. Is there anything else that you want to add that I should have asked before we say goodbye?
Here's the one thing I always like to leave, because sometimes people say, if you could only give people one piece of advice, what would it be around sales? And I will say, my piece of advice is always to invite people to the next step with you. Don't think that they're just going to get there on their own, and don't be afraid to invite somebody to work with you.
I love it. Thank you so much. You're amazing. This was
Thanks for
amazing.
Having me.
I think it's so helpful for so many people. Like I said, so many people don't like sales, but it's like tough shit. You have to like it and make sales if you want to be in business. And like my first business coach said, you don't like it because you're not good at it. And when I started getting better at it, I started liking it more. And then I was like, mm-hmm. Listen, I'm going to work on my business and not in it, I'm hiring a salesperson.
I love it.
So
love
that
it.
Was my selling staircase. Do it and then get out.
I love it.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thank you.
Make sure you head to yoursalesmaven.com/media maven, all one word, to get the Closing the Sale ebook. And if you want to find out more about that media mentoring program that I mentioned, just head to mediamentoringprogram.com. I make it easy, folks. I buy these URLs to make it easy for you. You can find out about my DIY course for $9.97. If you want some help from me and my team, one-on-one help from me and my team, no group coaching here, it's one-on-one help, then ask me about upgrading to the VIP service. And that is where you get the online course. You can have that forever, but you get to chat one-on-one with me and my team. If we know somebody who's doing a story about something in your niche, we'll send it your way. We'll make introductions to our reporter friends, our other publicity friends. You're basically like our client, except we're not pushing the buttons. We're just telling you which buttons to push. So head to mediamentoringprogram.com for more information about that one. And then again, the Closing the Sale ebook is at yoursalesmaven.com/mediamaven. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful day.